Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Here we go, 85.
85.
A little late. Late five.
Late five.
Lady five.
Not too late, though.
Not
historically,
too,
this month.
Yeah, we've been on Mondays.
It's
exactly a week from our last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And exactly 2 weeks from the one before that.
Yeah. Now, the next one we have to record on a specific day.
Yes.
I don't know if it's, is it Sunday or Saturday? Sunday, right?
Saturday.
Saturday. Why? Because we're going to be at
RadCon.
RadCon.
Which is a very rad con.
Oh, we did the thing.
But their RadCon is Radiation Con.
Yes, it's literally hosted in the downwind of Hanford Nuclear Plant.
Downwind.
Tasty, tasty cancer. So, how was your week, Scott?
So far, it's been pretty good.
We just got back from something. Should we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
Let's
talk about Star Mazer.
Star Mazer.
Hold it. Explain to me what Twitch is, other than something I do uncontrollably when I don't have enough scotch.
Twitch is a gigantic circle jerk that's now owned by Amazon. No, Twitch. So what Twitch is it's a streaming service that allows you to stream multiple feeds at once.
Mm-hmm.
It's really made for games. So you like stream yourself playing a game.
Oh, right? Okay.
Like, oh, look, I'm playing Mario Kart and my face is up and I'm playing a bunch of stuff. And it's like this whole new movement of people who don't want to actually do anything. They just want to watch other people do stuff.
But you're not watching the game. You're just watching them play the game.
You're just watching them. Well, no, you can see the game that they're playing.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It reminds me of, was it Fahrenheit 451 where they had the full video walls where you just watched other people do stuff?
Mm.
So we're there.
Not familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you've got these, these like YouTube, what's a good word for them?
YouTubers.
And YouTubers. These YouTube spud.
YouTubers?
Yeah, YouTubers. That's actually a good... I like that. Anyway, they're famous not for doing anything. They just sit there and yell stupid shit while other people do stuff. And people fucking love this for some reason.
Hmm.
Like, there's this one guy who just watches other people play games and screams. And he's like Swedish.
Really?
But he screams in English.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. Then I... be able to understand.
Right, exactly.
That's good.
But yeah, it's messed up. Oh, what's that guy's name? PewDiePie. Something like that. He's like fucking, I hate him so much. I hate the whole thing. I don't care if it makes me old, like the South Park episode said. It's fucking terrible. My kid, like, you know, watched him for a bit, and there are a bunch of other people that do this shit. I don't know. I'm into like, you know, Good Mythical Morning. That shit's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Rhett and Link, they're funny. They make me laugh. They deep fry glasses. That's my jam. Maybe I'm old fashioned, but I think instead of yelling at someone's gameplay, y'all ought to deep fry yourself a pair of sunglasses if you want them tickle my pink. Fancy. Tickle my pink. I just went off the rails on that one. Are you allergic to me saying that shit?
Apparently.
Well, no, you probably are allergic to cat, because we just got back from Star Mazer on Twitch TV. So, yes. StarMazer.tv, StarMazer.tv, is where we stream this stuff. If you don't know, you're not listening to the podcast.
No.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Everybody who's listening to the podcast has seen us post a lot of Star Mazer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Star Mazer is a point-and-click shoot-em-up, as we talked about last time.
Yep.
That is being funded on Kickstarter. So please go give it a look. Drop it $15. You'd be doing us a solid because it employs
us. And you get an awesome
us.
Game with Trin Miller, Andy yep. Dopborowski, Brian Lewis, Scott C. Brown.
Mariah Zook.
Although, I don't know if anyone here listening knows Mariah.
They know. I mean, we've
they
talked
know
about
of
her.
I mean, we've
she's
talked
in
about
your
her a lot.
Class.
She's in my class. Yeah. She was in depth. She was. I mean, yeah. She's been in a lot of things. And Josh Truax, mm-hmm. Which we've talked about. Not Dogma. What's the one word thing that Huber does that Josh is in?
Ian Huber does Decimation. No.
The space thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's something like that.
Yeah.
Descent. No, that's not right either. Descent was an awesome game, though.
Yeah, it was.
First true 360 game I ever played. And it ran on a 486.
Wow.
4616, even.
That's...
It was good. Additionally, Elspeth, I forget her last name.
I don't know her
She's
last
a Twitch
name.
Star. Elspeth is a Twitch star.
Okay.
So, I don't hate her.
No.
I mean... It's not my, like, demo or anything like that, but, like, she actually talks and produces content and doesn't just sit there and scream at games. So, yeah. And
a shout-out to Leslie Sedlak.
Leslie Sedlak, thank you for showing up.
She jumped on and threw out a couple questions.
Oh, I jumped on at the end, too.
Oh, did you?
And I asked if there was going to be a special scene where Brian Lewis was covered in cheese. And he flipped out. He's like, no, no. I know that guy. I know that guy. It was great. It was fun. It was.
That's awesome.
We had good times. I remember them. I remember thinking of the times we had when they were good. They were wonderful. I don't have good times. I just remember them. So... That was a lot of fun. Someone ordered pizza for the crew.
Yeah.
Remotely.
And not just one, three.
Of course, you know, they're not really blazing new trails there.
No.
Because Dennis Nickel ordered pizza into the Bards.
What was it, Dennis who ordered it into the Bards?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember who did.
Yeah, Dennis ordered us the bacon stuff.
Yeah.
Ha.
Which was awesome.
It was exactly as good as you would expect bacon stuffed crust to be if you don't have a bacon fetish.
Right.
Because people fetishize bacon.
Oh, yeah.
By, like, way too much. There shouldn't be bacon lip balm. There shouldn't be...
No.
There shouldn't be bacon lube. Mints. Bacon vodka, even. Well, yeah. I could see that. Like,
in a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Yep. Then it's
all right,
okay.
I could see that.
But, yeah, I'm not shooting bacon vodka.
They have cucumber vodka, and it makes me want to fucking vomit just smelling it. So...
It's true.
That I want to vomit?
I've seen your reaction to the cucumber.
Cucumber in general, I hate the taste of cucumber. I mean, I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's vile to me.
You are not in small company.
No,
there is a large contingent.
Yeah,
contingent.
Probably cucumber sized. Yeah, so English.
Not
cucumber.
Quite zucchini sized.
Not quite zucchini. Zucchini.
Well,
zucchini.
Yeah.
Awesome. Manga gin. So, other than this, I did do some camera work on an upcoming Patreon video for Zombie Orpheus.
Nice.
On Saturday. It was cool because I got to hang out with like Christian Doyle and Chris Odie, Don Early, a bunch of people. Damon was there. Damon Van Hee.
Cool.
Blue was there. Jordan Mitchell.
Is that what I saw little pictures of? Like Chibi-chan's head
Chibi-chan's
on the
pedestal?
Head on
a, yeah, I took those, yeah.
Okay. Now
Gabe,
I know what that is.
Gabe Gonda was directing.
Sweet.
Ben was there. Rachel Downing was there. Elizabeth Hiley, of course,
mm-hmm.
was awesome. Brad Roberts, who was always fun to talk to. I hope I didn't miss anybody. I don't think I did. I probably did. I have. I'm sure I have. But anyway, it was a lot of people, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, Matt Shimkus. Matt Shimkus and his daughter showed up, and then Chris brought his two sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot remember the name of the sound guy. I think David. But we're going to call him because he was really nice, and he's a sound guy, and we don't like doing sound.
No.
At all. So, that was fun. Other than that, it was just the kind of work that, that were I a lesser man, I would put a noose around my neck and just stop doing it. That was my job. I just hate it so much. I hate desk jockeying. Despise it. Well, I hate desk jockeying this way. Like, I enjoy editing, which is still desk jockeying, if you get right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
Still pushing buttons for a living, but I like it. So maybe I'll make a move that way one of these days, but I don't know. How was your week,
Scott? It was good.
Great.
Sorry, I'm also working on the recording that we have to do when we're done with this. So
I've still got to write the script for the recording we have to do when we're done with this. And it's like 10 o'clock almost.
Yes.
No, it's only, what is it, 9:15?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
My week was pretty good.
Good.
I did many things, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Many of which I can't recall because, great as we week. Know, I don't have much short-term memory.
Well.
I did see 39 Steps at Harlequin,
mm-hmm.
That my friend Aaron Lamb is in.
My assumption is that's a 13 or 12 step. No, it's like a 13 step program that you do three times.
No, yeah. It's a play with four actors and 139 parts.
Holy shit.
Aaron played the one central character. The female in the show plays three different female characters,
mm-hmm.
and the two, as they're billed in the program, the two clowns play between them 135 other characters.
Damn.
And it's a British, it kind of pokes fun at Hitchcock. There's some Hitchcock references, mm-hmm. but it's a guy who meets a secret agent and he's really bored and he goes, it, minimalist stage, just a lot of hijinks and hilarity, and it was really well done.
Oh yeah.
So if that's in your local area, I recommend the show. You go 39 Steps, what's that? But it's like Murder on the Orient Express on stage with very minimal set. It's like Shakespeare abridged would be.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
you're relying on the people. At one point, the clowns are out there, each with three hats on their hand. And at one point, he's the conductor. At one point, he's the Bobby. And at one point, he's a guy on the train. And you just buy the conceit.
Was Peter Sellers in Murder on the Orient Express?
I think Peter Ustinov was.
Oh, well, it was one Peter or another.
Yeah.
You know me. I love Peter.
Dick's Burgers.
Should have got some. Should have got a bag of dicks.
Should have got a bag of dicks.
Very hungry right now.
And I found out that I will be able to go to L.A. for the screening of Camp Abercorn, the pilot.
So put your wallets back, folks.
Which is awesome. And I'll be staying with the ever lovely Connor Marks.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be fun. So we'll get to hang out for a couple, 3 days or something while I'm down in L.A.
You can't spell Connor without recon. So take some pictures of his stuff.
Okay. I will. He took his N64 back from me.
That's
I was holding
sad.
On
That's
to it for him,
me.
And I yeah. had to bag it all up.
he did give
away.
Me my he gave me my Blu-rays of Game of Thrones back as well.
Oh, awesome!
So I've got 1 through 3, 4 is on its way, and then of course 5
coming out
soon.
So yeah, maybe I'll get to actually play some of the games with Connor, which would be mm-hmm. awesome because you know, a still complicated joysticks. Too much, two thumbs,
yeah.
buttons,
now,
XYZ, ABC.
My favorite N64 experience, though,
uh-huh.
is you get Pod Racer.
Okay.
You get the 4 meg expansion for the N64, so the graphics are a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might even be required for Pod Racer. I'm not sure. So you get that. You get 2 controllers, and there's a code you enter, and you do the pods like pods, where you push forward on
both
the sticks, and then you use them to steer.
Oh,
like pushing and pull. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That would see. I
That's
could get
fun.
Behind that.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. But if I have to move my head with one joystick
yeah, no.
and move my body with another, I can't coordinate that.
It's garbage. It's garbage. Crap.
So yeah, I had a good week overall, and. I'm sure there was... Oh, I shot the last... Yeah, I had a Kickstarter interview with Ben Andrews on Saturday for Yuval, a sci-fi film that I have been cast in with Ben Andrews and Tabitha Bastion mm-hmm. from The Anniversary, and Pat Cashman, a local supernumerary.
Oh, my God.
Here. No, not supernumerary.
No.
That's
but,
background chorus in a musical, but yeah. he's a...
He's awesome. So yeah. Pat Cashman was in the group Almost Live.
Mm-hmm.
He was the radio voice and did radio for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
He is also, if you live in the Pacific Northwest, he's a frequent police officer in Taco Time commercials.
Yes.
He was, for a minute, I think he did announcing at the Mariners.
Mariners or Sonics?
Sonics, one of the two.
I think at some point he filled in for Calabro. But
but the big thing, of course, is Almost Live. And now the 206 and the John Report with John Keister. So he's been in all of those.
Yep.
A couple of other people are really, really famous in the local scene because of that show. Like Nancy Guppy, I think, is like big on the Gregorys. She's she's a really big sort of voice there.
Yeah.
What's
his name from Community?
Oh, Joel McHale. I forgot about Joel McHale. Yeah.
And Sons of Anarchy.
Someone I can't. Oh, who's the guy? He's got a tie. He does physics shit. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Ben Nye, the makeup guy.
Right.
Right. So Bill Nye, of course, is from here as well, or from Almost Live. Then John Keister, who doesn't do much except for local TV.
Yeah.
I've seen him a few times at like Westlake with his kids. So he's a cool guy.
Yep.
I said Nancy Guppy. Who is the other?
Tracy.
So she did a huge, huge amount of work with a local hospital for their heart, for their heart division, because she had a heart attack, and they took really good care of her. But yeah, it's Tracy something. I can't remember it off the top of my head. And then there's that one guy who I think got arrested for child molestation.
JP Padgett?
Let's go with that. No, he was one of the other. I don't know. There's like a lot of people in Almost Live.
Yeah,
there are. But.
So that Kickstarter will be coming out the end of March.
Cool. Not an Almost Live Kickstarter. Scott's Kickstarter.
Yeah, the Yuval. And then finished filming my parts for a short called I Saw You, which we've been filming for a while now. Trying to get everybody's schedules together.
Yep.
I want to say there were some other awesome happenings. We'll just leave it at that. There were other awesome happenings that happened to me during the last week.
Yeah, I'm not going to jinx it, but I potentially have a role coming up at the end of March in one of Brian Sutherland's and Peter's...
Jeff Farrell.
Or Jeff Farrell. Oh, that's right, Jeff Farrell. What was I thinking of Peter? Because Peter was on Hands of Thunder. Mm-hmm. Fuck. Anyway, Jeff Farrell and Brian asked me to come for a part, so I'm hoping that works out well.
Which would be great, because that'll be our... Third film together.
Yes, it
fourth
will.
Film together.
Fourth film, yes. Unless if you count shorts, it's even more, isn't it? No, that's with shorts.
Yeah.
Because we had the anniversary.
I've never done one naked with you.
So no, we didn't.
Always have
yeah,
shorts.
We did the anniversary.
Yeah, the anniversary.
Not the artifact, because I wasn't in the artifact.
Right.
But the Out of Darkness, which was a short.
Oh, that's Keith right. Bowling. So then it's five. So five. Out of Darkness, and then Gamers 3.
Gamers 3.
N1.
Yes, N1. And this will
and
be
Lady
five.
Killer,
yeah, yep.
I think I could say the name. If I can't, then forget I just said that.
Yeah, I don't know what you said.
I don't
hear it somewhere. And then, of course, you know, Rude Mechanical and whatnot, the little stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously. So.
And hopefully next year, Joanna Gaskell, if you're listening.
Standard action.
Standard action.
Standard action.
With the bearded apothecary.
Standard action.
Which, by the way, 3.6 came out, and I was early in talking about the placard. Title card for my mom. It came out on 3.6, which was way more appropriate than 3.5. But I got some lovely emails from people who had seen it earlier. And I want to publicly thank them for that. And you will be getting a response email. I have just been neglecting getting back to my emails. So you know who you are if you're listening. And if you're not listening, then you don't know. And you'll just get the email when you do.
Was it Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Maybe.
All right, cool.
He did sign at NDG.
There we go.
So.
Neil deGrasse Cash or Ass? I don't know.
Cash or Gas? Gas or
Gas? Gas, Grass, or grass. Ass?
Right.
So Neil deGrasse, Gas, or Ass would
Tyson.
Be the Tyson. Yeah.
Gas, Grass, Ass, or Chicken.
Tyson's feeding you like family. Boodle doodle doodle.
Oh, you don't want to be fed like a Tyson family.
No, it's mostly ears.
Yeah. So, on that awesome note, we're at 20 minutes-ish, give or take.
And we need to burn through this because we have a lot to do tonight.
So we have a lot to do tonight.
Let's get to the questions. Sorry for the short one, folks.
We'll jump in, but it'll be worth it. It will be a short Two Bards podcast, but it will be a plethora week of Two Bards goodness.
Yes, because you will be tuning into Dead FM on Wednesday for some Two Bards loveliness.
Yes. Also some loveliness written by Bo Pritchard.
Bo Pritchard.
All right. So, Dennis Nickel writes in.
Of course he does.
What situation in your lives, which you can either recollect directly or have been told of afterward, brought you closest to death? Example, car wreck, major illness, etc. Bonus points. I didn't even know we were getting awarded points to begin with, but bonus points. If you can answer, how did that event change your outlook on things, if at all?
I mean, I've got a lot. I almost died a lot.
Really?
Yeah. When I was 2 years old, I reached up on a stove and pulled boiling canning water over myself.
Oh, that explains the patchy facial hair.
Week later, no, it was more than a week. It was the same year. I jumped over a sprinkler and fell into a lava rock feature.
What?
Yeah. I actually cut an artery. So that sucked. I fell into what was it called? It's Swan Falls is the name of the, which is on the Snake River.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place called Swan. Fell into a tidal pool there or an undertow pool there. So that sucked. Also fell into a drainage ditch and got pinned against the grate.
Uh-huh.
So that was fun too. Got into a car wreck with my mom when she was driving and was stupidly looking for one of her gloves. She made me unbuckle and get on the floor to look for it. Then she got frustrated, started looking for it, bent over, hit a parked car.
Ugh.
So that sucked. Dude, there's so many. Slipped when I left a house. Flew about 4 feet in the air, landed back first on steps, broke the steps with my back. That one was cool because I was like, oh my God, am I going to be paralyzed? We rush to the hospital and I find out that I'm probably going to not have a great old age, but because my spine, the vertebrae were rounded at the edges, it saved me from breaking my back. So I didn't hurt anything. Like nothing was hurt at all, but it's probably going to cause problems later because they don't stack on their own right. So my muscles are always holding them. So as soon as those start to go, I'm going to have trouble.
Oh.
Fuck. Let's see. There's been a lot, man.
Wow. I thought I had a lot with two. Any bonus points of how any of those events changed your outlook on things? I notice you don't like boiling water very much.
Oh, dude, I just boiled eggs this morning. No, I there's not much I really... No, they didn't have much of an impact at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of anything else that... I mean, there have been a lot. Like, I've almost fallen off of shit a lot. Like, many times. Once I climbed a tree, and it was about 10 feet in the air, and it was dry rotted, and I didn't know if I was getting a kite out of a tree. How kid is that, right? It's not as innocent as it sounds. We were throwing the kite string under cars to try and get the car to catch the kite string and draw the kite behind it. And we threw it and the car kicked it back out and the kite flew away and went into the tree. So I climb the tree, the branch breaks, I fall 10 feet and land flat on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say at this point is every bit of wind knocked out of me. That sucked.
Yeah. I've had the, we called it the crow's nest.
Mm-hmm.
It was a stupid playground thing when I was in grade school. And it was like 20 feet tall, made out of iron pipe and had asphalt beneath it. Because that's what you do when you slide down a pole is you want to go down the asphalt, not wood chips or, you know, some cushy thing. So I was at the top, kicked my feet out and I fell all the way down and landed on the concrete. Didn't crack my head open or anything, but boy, couldn't breathe for a while.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Losing your air is really a panic.
Honestly, the thing that panicked me the most that has ever happened in my life wasn't even that serious. I pulled a Super Nintendo down while I was asleep because the controller had fallen, and it hit me in the head, and I was like, stupid, oh, gravity, I'm mad. And I pushed it away, and then I put my head down, and the pillow is cold and wet. It's because I'd bled so much, and I was just kept bleeding because it was a head wound.
Oh, head wound, yeah.
So that scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And I remember that much more vividly than I remember most anything else.
Yeah.
I do know something that affected me that has nothing to do with actually dying, but when I was a little over a year old, I might have told this story. I'm pretty sure I've told the story already. My mom took me to see the movie Orca 2, I think. No, it was Orca.
When you were one?
I was one, because fucking dude, she's an idiot. So we went to see this movie about a giant killer whale
mm-hmm.
eating people.
Mm-hmm.
And I shit you not, less than a month later, trip to SeaWorld. So I was convinced, like I had recurring dreams that the little trolley that goes around SeaWorld for the tour
mm-hmm.
would go into the water and and all the little things that were hanging the netting started coming alive and trying to eat me. So I don't like deep water because of that. So yes, that fucked me up, but it wasn't even a real near-death experience.
Okay. I flipped an inflatable kayak going through a basalt rock canyon.
Oh my God.
On the Rogue River. Wow. And it was, I think, a class 4 rapids, and it was probably 3 feet deep. And when I fell in, I went head first and had the flotation device mm-hmm. on. So I could not, because it was so shallow, kick my legs, because I was trying to do the mm-hmm. tuck the knees under your chest,
roll backwards, yeah.
You know, on that plane, instead of sweeping my legs out and letting the current carry it down. And go on my back. I was trying to do it from the front position. Every time I would inhale, it was in the middle of a wave. Every time I'd get into the air, I was coughing. Mm-hmm. And my thought was my dad was about 5 big rafts back mm-hmm. and would never know or see me.
Right.
And how awful that would be. And my life was literally, at that young age, flashing before my eyes. So it took about 2 seconds.
Wow.
But yeah, it was 30 seconds of I was really freaked out and didn't think I was coming out. And then as much as the gallstones and kidney stones made me wish I were dead, I would say that the little mini stroke from last fall is probably the thing that kind of made me sit up and go, hey, you're not infallible, and all that shit that you've been talking about you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Time to start doing it.
Need to get off your ass and start doing it, because...
Yeah. And we do.
Time's a ticking.
I still need to... We need to... So you've got the thing at the Y.
Yep.
I need to get the thing at the Y. We need to actually schedule every morning.
Yeah.
Go, do the thing, go to work, whatever. Whatever it takes, just fucking go do it every fucking morning.
I'm in.
All right, let's
do it.
In
for penny, in for pound. And hopefully we'll have more pounds. Pennies and less pounds.
Booyah!
Unless we're in England, and then every penny makes a pound. Somehow.
Yeah.
It's kind of like every time a bell rings, an angel gets swings. Anyway, Paula Moran writes...
I wonder if that's true at like Wingdome. Like, is everyone an angel? Ding! Your wings are up.
Your wings.
I don't want to eat any more wings. Shut up, Clarence.
They're all angels. Paula Moran writes, when you have guests in from out of state, what are your favorite activities and where do you go?
Oh, so most of my guests are my kids or my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the activities are actually strikingly similar. I like going to the aquarium or the aquarium,
mm-hmm.
If you wish. Mighty O Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing the restaurant tour, like pho... You know, a lot of the Asian places that they don't, because they're all from Idaho,
mm-hmm.
where they have nothing.
Right.
There's no
chop suey.
Yeah, the closest thing they have to culture is Danone yogurt.
No Chobani.
No Chobani.
Danone.
Chobani. That's Democrat talk. All right.
Sorry.
But they do have Dutch Brothers coffee, which is awesome.
Oh yes, so it is pretty good.
So yeah, we do that. We do the food tours. We I like going places at night and looking at the city because they don't get a chance to do that. Ferry rides are a lot of fun. Water taxi, all that jazz. Because again, landlocked, so so that's great. I avoid doing tours of work because at Microsoft it was one thing, you know. It was
cool. Yeah,
but I mean, even then it was like, no, not really, no. But yeah,
I kind of like getting the tour at Microsoft. Here's the office supply room. What?
Yeah, have some pens.
Here's the soda pop, vending, coffee, food area. What?
Yep.
Juice, milk. Yeah, it's all there.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun. This year is going to be interesting. Well, I don't. This year is not going to be nearly as interesting as next year. So, my son got a car because in Idaho.
What?
Wait. In Idaho, it's legal to drive. You can get your learner's permit at 14 and a half.
Oh, my God.
Which is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't think people should even get their learner's permit until they're 18. And then 18 to 22 should be like your probationary period.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that when I was 16.
Yeah.
Because I know how stupid I was at 16. And when I was 16, I kind of had an idea of how stupid I was.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't like the idea of... driving before your brain has developed. And Idaho, it's because of the farming and stuff, it's 14 and a half.
Right.
So, and he got a Volvo. Like an old one, too.
Yeah.
Like 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So that's scary. It's not scary at all.
I mean, it's a safe car. It's just...
And he's learning stick out of the box.
Which is,
Which is, you can drive anything. So why not teach parents? Teach them stick.
Yep.
And don't, I'm sorry, let me take that back. Don't teach them stick, let them learn stick. Because the only way to learn stick shift is to learn stick shift.
Yeah.
Yelling at them doesn't help.
No.
So Tracy, my ex-wife, when we first started going out, she wanted to learn stick because she found this car that she liked. It was a Kia. It was actually kind of a weird, cute little car, but it was a stick shift. And so I'm like, well, I'll teach you. Just buy it. She didn't want to because her dad had yelled at her so much.
Mm.
She was crying and she just left, you know. And so I was like, no, just get it. And then I drove it. We drove out to a big open space. I got out, made her get in the driver's seat. I sat in the passenger seat and I said, okay, figure it out. Within half an hour, she could drive the car. Like fully drive. Not within half an hour, she could kind of drive it. She could drive it.
Yeah.
You know, so just let your kids learn stick shift. Don't freak them out.
Yeah.
If you burn out a clutch, big deal. Like, I mean, I know it's expensive. I know it stinks. It's so much better for a kid to learn to drive stick than it is to like yell at them.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Just let them learn.
Yeah. My dad took me to the high school and tried to get me to do reverse for like 30 minutes and I couldn't get out of the parking thing. Mm-hmm. So then. He backed it out and put it on a straightaway and was like, okay, do first. Mm-hmm. And once I figured that out, everything was good. And my dad was an awesome teacher because I had to pass a test of my father's before I could go take my test.
Yep.
And he's going to be way harder.
Yep.
And the old son of a bitch did the best thing ever. He took me to a blind little cul-de-sac on a hill.
Oh, nice.
Filled with children ages 3 to 16 on trikes, scooters, skateboards, bicycles, and made me stop. And then said, okay, and I've got kids all over the place, and I am stopped on a hill in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
I can't back up. I got to go around. I got to go through the kids. Don't honk. Get through this.
Yep.
And I did, and he and I were very confident when I managed that, I can handle anything.
Funny story. 16 years old, 17, I think. I'm close to 17 at this point. I had a Chevy Love. wait, a lowered Chevy Love.
Aren't they all?
Well, this one was actually lowered even further.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a stock Chevy Love.
So, lowered Chevy Love. I had a interview in downtown Seattle. I was living in Spokane at this point. That's where I learned to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually really glad I learned to drive in Spokane because this is nothing. Spokane is scary as shit. This is nothing. Freezing rain, ice, snow on top of ice on top of snow. snow on top of lava. I don't fucking understand it. So I drove from Spokane to Seattle and drove downtown in a stick shift Chevy Love. I learned real quick how to like really navigate mm-hmm. on a stick shift. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Did not. So the Japanese test that I was taking was not all verbal. It was mostly written, and I didn't know enough kanji. I was gonna place to go on a thing in Japan, but I mean, this was for people who'd supposedly been taking Japanese for like 10 years, or were mm-hmm. like secondary speakers, essentially, like their family was. Mm-hmm. So I feel pretty good that I even got to that point.
Yeah.
So
For me, places are, I don't really have anyone from out of state come visit me. B, I would go to the aquarium. Mm-hmm. Back before Bertha and the clusterfuck that is mm-hmm. the waterfront, I would go down there and mm-hmm. see the Edgewater Hotel and go, hey, that's where the Beatles stayed back in 60 whatever when mm-hmm. they came here, and go to all the weird little shops down there. Pike Place Market, the Pacific Science Center, Space Needle.
The Great Wheel. I forgot about the Great Wheel, which is newer.
Yeah, I will look at that. I'm not paying $25 or whatever it costs to go around that thing.
It's nice, though.
Yeah, probably is. If you don't mind heights, which I do, so
okay.
Probably not good for me. And then, like, neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
going around Fremonti area,
oh, yeah, or
Magnolia,
Troll.
The mm-hmm. Troll.
Yeah.
All of those types of destinations, because other than that, it's like you said, go find some cool place to eat that, mm-hmm. you know, what's your favorite food? Okay, let's find something that, I mean, you could find a French Cajun restaurant here in Seattle, mm-hmm. or a French restaurant, or, mm-hmm. you know, anything that you want, you can find it here, so.
Or you can go get bread pudding at the Crocodile and catch a show.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Mm.
So, yeah. Hey, if you're from out of state.
Now, if I were to go with you to Salem, where would you take me?
Paddington's.
Yeah, okay.
Willamette Park, where they filmed, or Willamette Park, yes, Bush Park, where the Willamette University Stadium is, ironically quite distant from Willamette University, but that's where they filmed Porky's.
I don't want to go there. I want to go where they filmed One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah. Was next on the hit tour, which is somewhat renovated, but mm-hmm. still has some of the classic stuff that's still there.
And take a bottle of water and throw it out the window. There.
We could go to the Oregon State Prison
mm-hmm.
And see where a couple serial killer ladies were incarcerated. Mm-hmm. Take you to the old State Forestry Department mm-hmm. where my father worked in cool. a historic building. Actually, a little house on Mill Creek
mm-hmm.
where you used to be able to watch the salmon spawn.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
not
really
more,
cool.
But yeah.
No. And the office that my dad worked in had secret compartments for... back in the day, mistresses and ooh. Other people that you wanted to hide, probably prohibition stuff too. But
yeah,
it was really cool. Now, I'm just, for the record, my dad did not have mistresses. He was just the first man
he did
that I
have
knew.
Hooch, though.
He did, and the first man that I knew that had a solid marble bathroom in his office.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a beautiful
how
bathroom.
How do you poop in a marble?
It's really hard.
Okay.
It's more on the marble, but you know. Yeah. Oh, in the state capitol.
Steely's Breakers.
Go
Cat's
see
eyes.
The big gold-plated guy on top
oh, right,
of the
right,
dome.
Oh, right. I'd also like to do a waterfall tour of Oregon one of these days, because they have
oh,
amazing
they
waterfalls.
Do. Silver Creek Falls is mm-hmm. amazing. Rob McLennan writes in with our next question. What is your favorite comic book character? Is there a particularly obscure mm-hmm. one that you like that you feel gets no love? He also commented, well, I'll just read it because I read all of them. Saw the second part of Scott's performance in Standard Action. It goes live to the public on February 10th, which is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Powerful stuff, and the dedication appears at the end of the episode.
Nice.
And it is quick, and Joanna agrees that it's quick, and I said,
that's fine.
Yeah. But it was already at picture lock before she realized that it's literally 2 seconds.
That's fine.
But it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on YouTube or on the Zombie Orpheus page, where there's a thing called the pause button.
Well, don't say the Zombie Orpheus page. That player is completely broken right now.
Oh, it's on YouTube.
Yeah. Zombie Orpheus is broken. The show pages are broken. Ben knows about it, but everything's moving to Patreon.
Oh, okay.
Which is much better.
much better, and it's still on YouTube.
Yep.
So Standard Action on YouTube.
Standard Action on YouTube. Or probably
3.5 is the first half of the scene episode that I'm in, and 3.6 is the culmination of that said episode. So, favorite comic book character, and I love the fact that he still spells it in the Canadian sense, F-A-V-O-U-R-I-T-E.
I appreciate
it. Favourite.
Boutine man, eh?
And is there a particularly obscure one that you like that feels getting a love?
All right, you go first, unless you got nothing.
My favorite comic book character of all time, and I will continue to say this until my dying breath, Aquaman.
He's badass these days.
Yes,
like,
he is.
Really bad. Like, you should watch some of the new animations. Holy shit.
And
Prince of Atlantis is a badass.
I feel that for a while, he got no love. Mm-hmm. Shmoo is the character that I feel in comics that gets no love. Mm. Or Bone, maybe.
Bone, yeah. Bone. I think Bone gets plenty of love. Man, okay.
Oh, there's a joke. There's a
Bone
joke
gets love, dude. Just go love the Bone. Go love the Bone.
Okay, you go. Cause
you go.
You go.
All right, so...
Bad car.
Favorite comic book character, I'm going to go with probably John Constantine. Not obscure, though. Not even a little bit.
Was to me.
Oh, okay.
But I sure do like the show.
Might come back as Hellblazer on like Netflix or something, or sci-fi. So, yay for that.
That would be good.
Constantine, Bad Habits, of course, being one of the best arcs in that, but some of his other stuff, like where he goes to the asylum, and because Constantine is always used to show obscure characters like Firebug, or like all these like little characters who are crazy, and who he brings out the craziness in with his synchronicity and his occultishness. Also, I think I've talked about this before, but my favorite comic book scene of all time, even though, you know, like when it comes to graphic novels, I'd almost have to say Kingdom Come's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The death of Spider-Man being a close runner-up, where Kraven kills him. I want to say that was a McFarlane Spider-Man, and it was just fucking great.
Is Constantine DC?
Constantine's DC. Vertigo. Okay. Well, maybe it's proper DC now. I don't remember. But anyway, Vertigo, so it was in, like, with the Sandman and Death and all that jazz. Constantine also has a couple of interesting arcs because in the Books of Magic, when he talks to Harry Potter... Oh, sorry, not Harry Potter. Just kidding, it's fucking... Dude, the kid looks just like Harry Potter. Read the Books of Magic, it's fucking hilarious. You end up at the end of time. Destiny is there, Death... This kid who Death is showing around, or who Destiny is showing around. And then there are two other beings at the end of all time. Joker and John Constantine. And I want to know that story.
Wow. Yeah.
I like that. As far as obscure goes, I'm going to have to go with, like, Badger. The Badger. He's kind of messed up and good. And then it's not really obscure, thanks to Hot Topic, but Johnny the Homicidal Maniac is also a big favorite before Hot Topic. Like, before anyone knew who he was, I had all the singles. That sounds really hipsterish, but, I mean, the whole point that Jonan Vasquez was making was that he didn't like people, and he didn't like consumerism, and then they ended up selling him in Hot Topic. So there's that. Didn't care much for Squee. Favorite art or favorite What If comic, though, in that was The Crossing Gods, hands down. So.
Whoa, how did I not?
Sorry, shut the door. Got a little noise up.
Who's down there?
I don't know. Text. There's only two people it could be. The door was locked.
I guess. When did all this stuff from Brian come in?
I don't know. Was he texting to us about the...
It still says, hey, still cool if I come over.
Oh, yeah. Tell him, yeah. So, anyway.
But where? For what?
He wants to record some stuff. That's what I was telling you about in the car.
Oh, I thought that was just hypothetically.
Oh, no. So, anyway, that's my favorite. Do we have any more questions, or is that it?
We have one more question.
Shoot it, and I'll talk while you're reading.
Other than the Sword of Fighting,
uh-huh,
have either of you considered collecting medieval pointy stuff? I've never considered collecting the Sword of Fighting. At this point, oh, Parenthetical from Rob McLennan. At this point, I have friends who swear that if the zombie apocalypse ever hits, they'll make a beeline to my house because of the collection of bows, swords, in addition to my armor and bow-making skills.
So, it's been proven time and time again that bladed weapons are the best for a zombie apocalypse, hands down. I would love to collect. I just don't have the time. I definitely don't have the money. I definitely don't have the skill. If you just heard what... So, if you heard that sound... What that is right there, that's me playing around with the balanced training sword for the Sword of Fighting. It's the same weight, same balance. Scott has a copy of it. And, yeah, it's messed up. So, I don't know what Scott's doing. Maybe we can listen. Hold on. Let's listen.
yeah, so apparently you didn't lock the door. Because the person that it could be was... Look at that! It's Brian Lewis!
Brian the people. Lewis? Get in here and say hi in that sexy caramel voice.
Why, hello there, podcast of the bards.
Too sexy.
Too sexy.
Yeah.
Caramely enough.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Smack that up a little bit.
What do we call your fans? I am one of them.
Bardketeers.
Bardketeers? All right.
Yeah.
Hello there, Bardketeers. How are you doing here?
No. Less sexy.
Less sexy.
We are the sexy on the show.
Oh, sorry. All right.
You need to know.
Hi there, boys and girls. How are you doing?
Oh, God.
See, way? It's still not working. Less sexy.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, Scott's still got a boner.
I can see the chub from here, actually.
I know. Yeah, that's why,
why I wear shorts.
He's wearing sweatpants. The sweatpants. Yeah.
Sweatpants.
So what it is.
So if you, would you ever consider collecting medieval armaments? Swords?
I already
maces?
Do.
You do?
Yeah.
Like one isn't a collection. How many?
Well,
do you have?
I would. I
talking to the mic.
I have. Let's see. I have about three. I think three swords. One of them is one I got in Toledo, Spain, and it has like Robin of Locksley. And it's like it's not real. I mean, like they actually.
it's completely imaginary.
No. It's a figment. Yeah, I just. Made
it doesn't exist. It's just.
No, it's like, you know, for it's pretty and it, you put it on a wall and whatnot. Like, actually, I was in this foundry where, like, you know, these swords are made and, like, they gave us the choice that, like, here are the decorative, like, swords that are not actually swords. They're just, you know, they're not ready to be, you know, you can't actually, they're not battle ready. And here are the actual battle ready swords who are like half the price. And you can get two of these for one of the decorative swords. And for whatever reason, the young self would be like, I want the one to put on my wall. Like, I didn't think that... Like, what
dude.
Am I... I should have gotten the...
You should have gotten the battle.
The real ones, yeah. I mean, they weren't nearly as pretty, but like, yeah, that would have been actually kind of cooler. Also, I have this, you know, gigantic rapier from Tiffany. Actually gave me this huge rapier while we're doing Three Musketeers.
I was hoping it was a rapier from Tiffany's. I was like, here's
it's a glass crystal.
Yeah, it's diamond studded.
This is lightning glass right here, the handle. Now this leather is only from the finest hand massage calf.
That's right.
Yeah. In all of Tibet.
Actually,
where they are worshipped.
Part of the hills involves a certain wood that you cannot actually chop down. You have to wait until lightning strikes it, and then you can actually procure the wood that way.
Yep. You can't see it, but inside, running inside the handle, is actually the tears of a bald eagle. we captured it, tortured it, slapped around its babies.
In another country, of course.
Another country,
we can't do it in the U.S.
Well, Alaska, but whatever. So yeah, it's you can kind of you, if you listen really closely, you can hear the lament of the eagle.
See? Oh wow, that's kind of
eagle lament.
I'm not sure what
that was the plastic sword.
What shopping network uses these voices that we're doing? But like,
not good ones.
Nope.
Rolling at 3 p.m. or 3 a.m.
I also had a Toledo decorative sword.
Toledo.
I had a Toledo.
Oh, Toledo's in America. Toledo's in Spain.
Correct. I had a Toledo. I had a Toledo.
It was 100% made, though. It was holy Toledo.
Yeah.
Oh, that happened there.
Oh, man. You saw that dawn on my face about a couple seconds later.
And a katana.
A katana.
A katana.
All right. Does it have a little Hello Kitty on it?
Yep. It has that braided awesome handle, and in between are little Hello Kitties on it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's an encrusted
the grip. In, yeah, encrusted in Hello packet. Kitty encrusted handle.
It's the weapon of the Siamese arrived.
Oh, I also actually on any. I used to work for something called Scottish Heritage Center. We would go to the Scottish Highland Games and sell like kilts and tartans and things. And so on my break, I went around and there's some sword like shuckers, you know, and these weren't good swords.
Shuckers.
Yeah, swords inside of a corn
husk. I'm shucking some corn found a sword.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very RPG.
It's very rare. Only found in Nebraska. Anyway, so
in Toledo.
I found what is it called? It is Skindu? Narsil. No, there's Narsil, and then there is Anduin. Anduril. Anduril is the original one that was broken, and Narsil was the one that was forged, correct?
Well, the shards are the shards of Narsil, so I thought Narsil was the original.
Okay.
Narsil was the original.
So
at least I was close. I said Nazgul, so at least I had the right property.
That's a Morgul blade.
Technically is, I guess it's Narsil because it does not have the Dwarven runes on it, like Anduril
does.
Anduril does,
yeah.
And also, by the way, it's completely a knockoff. It's not the Lord of the Rings kind of like version. It's like made from Pakistan or Pakistani, as perhaps Scott would pronounce it.
Pakistan.
Thank you. I always had this idea of like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some sort of like tool, because I don't know what tool that is, and like break it up and put it in shards and display it that way.
It's a hammer. You invented a hammer. Good job.
Maybe that or a chisel or something.
Yeah, chisel and hammer.
But yeah, I have several of those. My cousin Michael was giving away several as well because he didn't need them anymore because, you know, he's a grown-ass man and why do you have them necessarily? But I did not take them because I thought
I will take them.
You will take
them? Rob McLennan. Brian didn't mean anything to say disrespectfully that grown-ass men should not be collecting medieval swords and stuff.
No, I'm a grown-ass man and I have a medieval collection of swords and junk. Yeah,
I have the grown-ass ass in this room and I want these swords.
I don't even have...
Really?
Like,
yours is the grown-ass ass?
Not I didn't say oldest. I said grown-ass.
Okay.
I was wanting to get the rings, like all like tons and tons of rings and make some chainmail, like, but I never actually had the time or the
tenacity. I thought you were just like, I'm gonna go roll some Persian dude.
I got some.
Just gonna have all the bling rings, one for every knuckle joint.
This is medieval, right?
Bling bling.
Shiz. And it's spelled out and all four fingers go into it. It's just
speaking of rings that are in the dorky variety though, mm-hmm. We did get those like rings from Gen Con a few years back. They were actually, I forget who gave it to us.
Yeah,
but there's like a like ring of invisibility and mm-hmm. like, you know, those kinds of things. Those are a lot of fun.
Careful, don't take those to a Florida school or you'll get your ass fucking kicked out apparently.
Oh,
was
what?
It Florida, right? It was Florida, I think.
That had rings?
No, some kid took it. He like had a ring and he went to school and this kid was fucking with him and he's like, I'll use the ring of power to turn invisible and beat you up or something. And the school fucking flipped out because he was casting magic.
Yes.
Because he said, my ring will turn me invisible. Oh, don't let the kid cast the magic on
me. See, that's why spinner rings are good, because they're obviously not magical. They're just math.
Oh, is that what we're talking about? Or are we talking about the...
No. We were talking about another one from 5 years ago.
Oh,
where,
wow. Really? That one?
I think it was 2008.
Yeah, we were
ooh, shit, Darkness.
Previewing Darkness or whatever.
Yeah, so that would have been...
Or premiering
7 years ago. 7 years ago.
No. Really?
Yep. Hey, speaking of premiering stuff at Gen Con, buddy.
What?
I can't wait to watch you, Zumba.
Yeah.
You pretty, pretty whore.
I don't know if I can talk anything about that.
I don't think we can talk much about it.
I hate that, by the way. And this,
I don't care. Like, it's great.
No, I know. No, it's just like in your guys' podcast, like you do that. Like, we have this thing. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know.
Get excited
about no criteria.
Yeah. Oh, by the way. So Brick M. Stonewood.
Standing
right here.
What M is stands for metal.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. You just got in the middle of my catchphrase.
It's fine. It's good. It's fine.
No.
It's my podcast. Fuck you.
I can interrupt
you. But aren't Brick and Stone the same?
No. I believe brick is made out of straw and clay. And so stone is not at all one of those things. But
it is almost a full Catan hand.
I know. I noticed that. Like, I noticed that, like, along, like...
That was the first thing I noticed, too.
There was several... No, it wasn't the first thing. It actually took me several months. Like, yeah. You know, I was like, oh, Brick M. Stonewood. The M stands for metal. Okay. And then, like 2 months later, it kind of dawned on me, well, wait a minute. Brick, metal, stone, wood... Mind blown.
Like, yeah. All we need is a, like, you need to work a sheep in.
I know, right? You and Brick M. Stonewood is...
He puts the Brick M. Stonewood into you.
That's gonna hurt. When people figure out what we just said. Brian, I have also been plugging the episodes 3.5 and 3.6 in which I appeared in Standard Action this season.
Yeah.
I don't know which ones you're in specifically. So since you're here and Andy doesn't want to talk about it, I can't remember if you have been revealed yet in the new season.
Yes. Well, I've been revealed in the sense that they have photos of me, you know, and
But your episode has not aired yet.
No, it hasn't aired yet.
Okay, so we shot yours first, but mine aired first.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not even sure if the remainder of yours will cross over in mine. I don't know if our peanut butter and our chocolate are going to touch. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
But that'll be a lot of fun because I've been looking forward to seeing your bit. Like I've been watching, you know, to see that kind of thing. It's really exciting. I don't know if you guys have tuned in to the 3.5 episode of Standard Action, but go do it. Scotty Brown's at the end. Yep. And there's like a nice cool cliffhanger.
And 3.6 is tomorrow.
Really? It comes out tomorrow. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. See, now, I was under the impression that you were going to play the voice of a spoon or something like that.
Oh, I did.
No, that's great.
The spoon of fighting.
And then I saw a picture, and I wanted to end my own life.
Well, the spoon character that I have played in season 2 and parts of this first season, and the character that I also play, could or could not, may or may not, be related. Possibly.
That is up to you to decide later.
Well, actually, it's not. It's up to see later. And, yeah.
But no, I'm really happy with the scenes because since I backed Standard Action, I got the email that said that, you know, I got a sneak peek of my own shit. But yeah, it's I'm really really happy, and I will say kudos to the editorial team. Or the editing team.
Yeah.
Who did not, every time I speak, cut away to coverage of someone else. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate having something to put in my fucking reel.
You act like that this is a regular occurrence that happens to you, Scott.
Oh, go back and look at a few things we've been in, my friend. You tell me how many times I have more than 2 seconds of continual talk time and FaceTime.
Well, there is definitely a stylistic choice by certain editors to not show people actually talking. And
what is that
it's
called?
Not just you.
Is that?
Oh, no. I'm not saying that it's just
where you're
me.
Always showing basically the reaction of the person being talked to as the primary. And I don't know what it's called.
Oh, yeah. But it does have a name, probably. Chiaroscuro?
No, chiaroscuro.
Chiaroscuro.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can name
it. Caravaggio.
Or we're just naming things up.
Like, those are both real things. Okay, Caravaggio.
Beef Berlinaise. That's what it's called.
Beef Bolognese?
Beef Bourguignon?
Why not?
Sure.
Yeah. Beef mayonnaise?
Just Hollandaise.
Something that sounds Italian. You know, that'll probably
work. No. Caravaggio. Well, chiaroscuro was invented by Cimabue initially, it's a nickname. It means ox thrower.
Oh, man.
I'm
going to pause you right here to give you a compliment. I think I've already given you on your podcast. I so envy your powers of recollection and reference. Just like, you're like, pulling it back in this little tidbit on the bridge.
Try being me every week.
They're not always right.
But they're incredible. It doesn't matter.
You sell them.
And it had the chick in it. I can't think of these kinds of things. And you're like,
this example is brought to you by my powerful brain.
The thing with the chicken, by the way, it's called an egg. In case you were wondering. Just wondering that one.
Yeah, faggot.
It came first. So.
Did it?
Yes, because the thing that laid the egg that had the chicken in it wasn't quite a chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the actor. That's right.
Or, you know, whatever. I guess the chicken came first if you like Ken Ham a lot.
Mm-hmm.
and hate Carnival Cruise Line commercials.
Yeah, I guess that was a thing.
Yeah, recently.
I haven't been spending a whole lot of time on Facebook and stuff like that because at work I've just been swamped. Mm. But like, yeah, apparently that's a thing. Like, they kind of... Am I coming in too late? Have you guys ever talked about it?
I just want everyone to catch the subtle reference that Brian said. I haven't been on Facebook much lately because I'm swamped at work. I'm assuming that you come home at some point in which you can look at the Facebooks where you're not swamped at the work.
I could technically do that, but like
when I had a full-time job,
you have a wife face when you get home.
Where I watched the Facebook was at work, which I think is where most of the people watch the Facebook. And it just tickled me when you said, "I'm really slammed at work, so I haven't been on Facebook much."
Well, I stare at a computer screen all day long.
I know, and
like it's a lot of people's. Like, I mean, it's not a good. What am I thinking of? See, this is the problem. I can't think of words. It's not a good excuse.
It's not a good excuse. Oh.
Okay. You know, just to be like, oh, well, I'm on the computer all day at work, so I don't want to do it.
No.
But it's what happens, you know? Yeah. Like, when I clock off, I'm like, I've been doing this for like nine...
You clock off at work? Wait, I think I'm thinking something else.
Mm.
Yeah. That's cool,
though. No, and I'm not calling you out because I was guilty of the same thing, and it's why I'm not really on it now.
Sure.
The only time I'm on it is when I'm on the computer working.
But the thing that we were referencing, just so we're not vague, is the Carnival Cruise Line commercial that was on the Super Bowl. I didn't actually get to see it.
JFK's voiceover talking about returning to the sea. He was talking about sailing. I mean, he's a big sailor, right? Nantucket or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Camp Rapey. Wherever he went on his
life. I think it's called Camp David. It's not
Camp David. Yeah, well, we know what happened.
Kennebunkport.
Kennebunkport. That's what I was thinking of, actually. It's in Maine. Yeah, Maine. But he...
Hey!
Good job.
I got one for the year.
All right, high five.
It's already
so Camelot, February. Whatever. So he would, he'd talk about sailing, and it was about returning to the sea and how we all have a drive to return to the sea because we are of the sea. Our bodies have the same salinity as ocean, blah, blah, blah. And if you remember your old school, so I saw this film in real life on a VCR, like when I was very young. But where most people have seen this film that talks about blood being seawater is in the background of the Gremlins.
Really?
Yeah, there's a bit when the science teacher is playing, you know, because he's the Gremlin at this point is turning into the actual, like, pupa thing. Or the Mogwai, I guess, is turning into the Gremlin. Whatever. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So going on in the background.
Yeah, I don't know the proper terms, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. So Billy's like bothering him, and while he's teaching class, there's this thing going like, how fast does a hummingbird's heart pump? And how long would it take your heart to pump enough blood to fill three size swimming pools and all that shit? And it talks about seawater and stuff. So, but it, basically that whole thing. It's like
there was a video or something like that I remember from childhood, like talking about certain kind of like compounds. It was just kind of this kids science video, and like I remember specifically this one about water, and like it was just really interesting, all these things like that I didn't know about water, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, you think it's, I mean, what, you see it every day and the water's not a big deal, but like there's a lot of like really interesting things about it. Like, say for instance, when water freezes, it's like one of the only things that expands as opposed to contracts like most everything else, or like the whole act of being on ice. You know, and you've actually like explained this on the podcast before about like how people can ice skate.
Yeah, it's actually hydroplaning. It's yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're so you sounds like 3-2-1 Contact is what you were watching.
Probably.
If I had to guess. 3-2-1 Contact was awesome
because
it had the Bloodhound Gang.
Mm.
They'd solve crimes.
Oh, did they now?
They solved crimes with science, motherfucker.
Wow.
They solved a crime
where the Bloodhound Gang was a music group.
You shut your mouth. They solved crimes where someone thought, they were like, we have a meteorite that's from a dying neutron star. And they're like, no, you don't. That would weigh as much as like a bajillion of things. And that's how they solved crimes. They said things like, no, you don't.
Very specifically.
Shut your mouth. We're the Bloodhound Gang. And then one of them got into gay porn and the other one died.
Oh. I mean...
Science! It's a dangerous mistress.
I'm not... Yeah, like, I'm awing the guy to death. Like, the guy that goes on the gay porn, yeah, good on you.
That's the girl died. I think the girl died.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Kind of like Dana Plato style.
Mm.
Dana Plato died?
Dana Plato's been dead for years, dude.
Really?
She did Night Trap and then killed herself.
Oh,
Night Trap was terrible.
Oh, this is actually a really good opportunity for me to say this other thing that I want to say nice about you guys.
Oh, I was going to say.
So, no,
we're talking about death, and this has reminded Brian of something else.
Well, I've been thinking this last couple of times I've been listening, because, like, as you know, I am a big fan of your guys', as I listen to every podcast.
True.
And I don't necessarily catch them live anymore. Anyway, I digress.
So we haven't done them live anymore. And where are your questions?
Oh, yes.
Just saying. Also, calling out Tom Brophy this week. No tweets. No sweet tweets from Tom Brophy. Anyway, please go on. You were going to say something really nice about us.
What did Tom Brophy and a bad coal mine have in common? No tweets.
So what I want to say is, like, I've been following you guys since the beginning, and your podcast has become, like, really good. Like, you guys started out, like, better than average. Like, because a lot of times when podcasts, like, start out, people don't necessarily know what they're doing, and they often, like, you know, like,
high five to that.
You know, yeah, like,
and go back and listen to the first one, folks.
Sure. I mean, like, it's a very entertaining, like, podcast, like, through and through, and you guys talk about very interesting things, and it's just, like, you guys just, like, rapping about stuff, and, like, it's just, I don't know, I just want to say that you guys have come a long way, and it shows. And, like, you have a very quality product now.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. You're a sweetheart. This is why we love Brian.
I was actually going to say that to you, like, in an email or something like that, but, like, no, I should say it on... Yeah.
Please.
Because other people were like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, that guy's right.
Well, that Brian always hits the nail right on the head.
Don't you, though? That Brian.
That Brian. Oh, well, do you want to go ahead and...
Yeah, you take us out of here.
Take us out. Ask Neil on the show.
Well, Mr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're listening, please, please come on the Two Bards podcast. Please?